Hello everyone, I'm Amber from the Fresh Start program, and today I'm delighted to be interviewing Cassie so that she can share her story with you. So Cassie is someone that I've had the pleasure of meeting personally, and for me and the Fresh Start team, she really represents really wonderfully our favorite concept of basically choosing to create the changes that we're looking for in our life and our health, and of taking action and keeping moving forward and using any mistakes or lessons or setbacks or anything that kind of doesn't go as planned as learnings, insights that are useful and valuable and make the road ahead clearer rather than stopping her in her tracks. So welcome, Cassie, and thank you so much for your time today.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome. And look, I'm really excited to be able to share some of your story with the participants who are going to be listening to your interview, because I know that in the conversations I've had with you, you have been so inspiring and so positive and also very realistic, if you like, in terms of it's not necessarily been this really smooth journey for you. It's still been, up and down, and yet you keep going and you keep making these amazing changes for yourself and creating this fantastic lifestyle for yourself. And also, most importantly, and I really trust that the listeners will hear it from you, your attitude is fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to sharing that with everyone listening. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, Cassie, if we could start perhaps with a high-level summary of what was going on for you pre-surgery. So you had your sleeve about 18 months ago, is that right?
Yeah, I had the bypass done.
Ah, okay.
In, July 2015, so last year.
Yeah, okay.
I had the bypass done, at the end of July.
Okay, fantastic. So if we could start with maybe some information from you about, what was going on for you pre-surgery, what were some of the emotional or physical or environmental factors that led to your surgery?
A few years before that, I had been at my GP and she had basically said, I really want you to go get some information about surgery. And I said, no, not interested, completely dismissed the idea. And in my head, it was like, no, I can do this on my own. I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued to try and do it on my own and kept trying different things. And as I'm sure everyone who's listening to this has done, you feel like you've tried everything and you've even lost weight, but you've put it back on again. And by the time you get to the point where you're 135 kilos like I was, you have accumulated other risk factors along the way, which basically once you see your surgeon, they go through it with you and say, well, this is making it harder, that's making it harder, and this is making it harder. It's, as you get older, you the pre-diabetes kicks in and all these other things, that it does make it more tricky and more tricky as you go to do it on your own. Not saying it's impossible, some people do. And so I dismissed the idea and kept going on my own. Now, then I met a girl who had the sleeve done. And she basically said to me, I've lost a lot of weight and none of my friends know, but I really want to tell you, because she obviously could see plain as day that I needed to hear her story just in case it would inspire me, I suppose, to get help like she did.
Absolutely.
And she told me what she'd done, how she'd done it, and her whole experience. And looking at her, I just thought to myself, if I could have what she has, that would be incredible. So that, I think it was hearing it from someone who had done it, who had gone through it. It was the right time for me. She shared with me, and I suppose that's why I'm so passionate about sharing my story and my journey with other people, because that's what was the changing factor for me to get the help that I needed. And basically, as soon as I heard everything she had to say, I asked for her surgeon's number and I made that appointment literally the next day that I could.
Wow.
And just went from there. And her story, yeah, inspired me. And, yeah, so then I ended up going into the same to the same doctor, and I did a different kind of operation, but that's because that was right for me.
Yeah.
And we're still friends, and I tell her all the time that she inspired me, which I think then inspires her. And, yeah, yeah, that's my story of how I came to have the surgery.
Okay, fantastic. So if we fast forward now to today, how different is your life today compared to when you made that decision to go ahead with the surgery?
Well, it's very funny. I've heard before people say, when you lose weight, all of your problems won't go away. You know, when you say you're going to diet, you think when you've lost all the weight, all your problems are going to go away. That's not true.
Yeah.
What I feel like is that my life is completely different, like almost like a complete 180. I'm in a completely different world than I lived in pre-surgery. It's quite bizarre,
yeah.
Surreal at times, amazing. It's almost like a dream,
yeah.
But it took a long time to get here, but at the same time, it feels like it just happened. Yeah, I feel like everything is different, and I feel like also that the true effort I put in was a very short amount of time, considering for 37 years I put a lot of effort in and got nowhere.
Right.
So
yeah.
when people say, "Oh, but you are so strict," because I was. I'm not now because I'm in maintenance mode, which is a whole nother world.
Yeah.
But for those first 12 months, I was super strict. But in my head, it was, I only have to do this for this long, and then I can have a different take on it.
Mm.
It's almost like being pregnant. If you choose not to drink while you're pregnant, you think it's only 9 months. I can do that.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
But that 9 months, 12 months changed my entire life because I focused so much on my health, on looking after myself, on getting this right.
Yeah.
It didn't stop the rest of my life. People also think, oh, I can't. But I have a different job than other people, and I continued to do that. I put everything, I rearranged my whole life to work around that 12 months where I knew I was going to be focusing on my health. But really, if I didn't do that, who knew if I was going to be here for the next 10 years?
Mm.
So to me, it was worth that year of head down, focus, you know, 100% commitment.
Yeah.
Because they do tell you thousands of times before you get the surgery, this is not a magic pill. You are not going to lose the weight unless you do anything.
Yeah.
You don't do, you know, what you need to do. And again, if you've had the operation, you know that to be true. If you haven't yet had the operation, it is true. But I think there's so many things you can do to get yourself into that headspace and to stay there. And that's what I'm really passionate about.
Yes.
Of course, the surgery is amazing, changed my life. I'm so grateful. But I know that that's not the switch. I know there's so many things that you need to do to get to the point where the surgery triggers you, really, is your backup to success. It's my backup. It's not the only reason that I have the life I have now. It's my backup. So if I eat a little bit too much, it's going to say, hello, you can stop now. But that's the only thing it really does. It doesn't stop you from eating the wrong thing. It doesn't stop you from eating every half an hour. It doesn't stop why you eat,
yes,
what you eat. It only stops you from eating a certain amount. So everything else you have to take care of.
Yeah, absolutely. You're putting it so well in terms of it is, you know, if I put it under the heading of attitude and mindset, it sounds like you had a very specific mindset and also were very clear on what you wanted your mindset and your focus to be, as you say, for those 9-12 months. Can you go a little bit deeper into the detail about what was your mindset? What did you believe about what was possible and what you could achieve? What specifically, so, you know, if someone wanted to copy your mindset, how would they have done that?
Yeah, I think, because I've reflected a lot on this, because everyone asked me, you know, questions like that.
Yeah.
Even before I thought about surgery, obviously when you're quite big, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be big. It might be controversial to say it, but I don't think anyone who's 135 kilos wants to be a 135 kilos. Maybe I'll meet some person someday who'll say they're really happy being that big, but I was not. I was not comfortable. Yeah. I didn't feel good. I had no energy. So I knew that I wanted to not be 135 kilos. And I don't love using the word thin, skinny, whatever.
Yeah.
But in reality, if I'm going to be 100% authentic and tell you how I actually pictured it, I pictured myself, for want of a better word, thin or skinny.
Yeah.
I had a photo of myself from when I was in my 20s and I'd lost a 30 kilos and I was smaller than I'd ever been, and I was at a party and, you know, there were lots of photos and I still had those photos.
Yeah.
I would look at those photos and say, look, it is possible for me to be that way. And you know what? You don't even need to have photos of yourself to know that. All you have to do is look around you. There are people who are skinny, so it's possible. So that's your first hurdle. It is possible.
Yes.
And if it's possible for someone else, it's possible for you. And I know that's a really hard fact to face, and I think that's something I've learnt, again, since losing the weight. I've lost a lot. People get freaked out because you remove their excuse. And you know, I would have felt the same. I would have been, I hate her. Look what she, I can't do that. That's all right for her. It's not okay for me. But you're not going to succeed if you have that attitude. I just don't think. I think you have to believe that it is possible for you to be what you want to be. So you might not want to be skinny or thin. You might want to be something that you've come up with that you'd be happy with, whatever that would be. But for me, I wanted to be thin because I knew I could be and I knew how good it felt. I worked in fashion. I wanted to wear the clothes I love, not all superficial things. I wanted to have lots of energy and I wanted to be in a healthy weight range, which, by the way, is quite low. Like, I'm 60, around between 62, 63 kilos. I'm in my healthy weight range, but not by a lot.
Yeah.
So when the surgeon said to me, I think, you know, possibly get down to 80, I was like, that's still outside of my healthy weight range. I'm not happy with that. I didn't say that. I think I actually turned to him and said, yeah, I'll be losing more than that, because I was so positive that that's what I wanted. But anyway, back to I've always looked at those pictures and thought, okay, that's possible. I would really like to look like that again and to feel like that again and to be that person again, because, you know, we all, I think every bigger person knows there's a smaller person inside them. It's just how you feel, because it's you. It's just yourself.
Mm.
You look in the mirror and think, this isn't me. This isn't what I'm supposed to look like. And I've had lots of people say that. So then I looked at those photos and thought, okay, that's the real me, that's the real, but at the same time, it's completely unattainable.
Okay.
So I'd had yes, you need to break that up.
Yeah, so because that was my next question, because it sounds like you know, that it's, you're spot on in terms of believing it's possible, that being the first step. So deciding you want it and believing it's possible. And, you know, you clearly had a goal in mind, and we're always emphasizing the importance of the goal. My question, my next question was going to be, when, you know, did you have doubts? Did you have the fears come up? And how did you deal with that when you were saying, well, I know it's possible for me? You know, was there another part of you, you know, disagreeing, and what did you do about that in terms of your mindset and managing your, I guess, your state and your emotions and your attitude, so you kept on doing what you needed to do?
Yes, absolutely had doubts, absolutely thought, but I can't do it. I know it's possible, but I can't do it. I've tried so many times and I've failed. Why is this going to work? Absolutely had all of those normal, completely normal thoughts. And despite that, I wanted it really badly, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I, again, because I'd tried everything, I tried hypnosis, which didn't work for me, and I know it does work for some people, but it didn't work for me. And then I met an NLP coach.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll try anything, because you try everything. Surgery is just another thing you try, and hopefully it works, because it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I thought, okay, I'll do this NLP thing. And that was, again, way before the surgery, before I'd even thought about the surgery. And I was taken through some different strategies of what I wanted to look like. It's basically like hardcore visualization, but really easy. Like, it's like, I say it's like visualization on crack. It's just like, this is what you want.
Yeah.
And it's setting you up for success in that way. But yes. So, and I know you understand what I'm trying to say, and if anyone's had NLP and, it's really kicked in for them.
Yeah.
It's a very strange process because you don't feel different straight away. You do feel different, but you don't realise you feel different. And as the days pass, you look back and go, I am different.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened. And
yeah, absolutely.
So it's hard to explain. It is like a switch, but you don't realise the switch has been flicked. But it's quite incredible. And I had a session or two, and then I just left it, and I thought, okay, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And then I just think things are meant to be. They're meant to work how they work, and things are meant to be how they are. So when everything unfolded and I ended up having the surgery, I knew NLP had something to do with the fact that I'd been open to it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Since the last time someone talked to me about it and I wasn't open to it, I'd had the NLP, and this time as soon as I got the information, I knew it was right.
Yeah.
So I went and did the right thing which was to do the surgery.
Yeah.
But every step of the way, I use the strategies I've learned along the way with visualization, NLP, changing of state, all of those amazing things.
Fantastic.
That when I wasn't feeling it, then I just basically, I learned how to snap myself out of that and realize that is not going to be the way that gets me to my goal, and that you have to start thinking differently. And it's just an incredible process. And then even after the surgery, when I had a few, lots of times when I thought, I haven't lost any weight this week, or I feel confused, or I feel like wrong, I don't feel right. I'd have an NLP session, a one-on-one, basically aligning what my body and my mind were trying to do together. So they were in partnership instead of fighting each other, which I think is so common when you're trying to change yourself, your life,
Absolutely.
What your habits are.
Absolutely. Everything. Absolutely. So for those of you who aren't familiar with NLP, it stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And in my mind, it's really about the science of success. It's about knowing how to use our minds and the language we use in our minds and how we speak to ourselves to get the results we want. So it's comes from two men called Bandler and Grinder, who looked at the kind of most successful people in all sorts of areas of life, in their health, in their business, in their wealth, and so on, and they examined the strategies that these people used, and they created NLP from it, and then processes that enable a coach or an NLP practitioner to assist the client to create change very rapidly. So in terms of what you're talking about, Cassie, absolutely. So it enables us to, as you say so beautifully, flick a switch in our brains, create change very, very rapidly, whereby old patterns, old strategies, old behaviors are even, we can actually make them so that they're no longer accessible to us. They either don't exist within our sort of programming in our brain anymore, or we don't want to do them, or we can associate pain to doing them. There's all sorts of strategies and so on. And you don't have to do NLP to be able to get your mindset set. We do actually share a lot of NLP type principles on the program. What I think is the key takeaway from what you're saying, Cassie, is the need to really focus on getting your mindset conspiring for your success. It's the reason why we put so much emphasis on the mindset is because that's where the power is. The behaviors come from the mind, rather than do what you know you should, what you've been told to, and so on. That will only get you so far. Willpower will only get you so far, and it always comes down to, okay, well, what's going on in my head between my ears about what I believe about being healthy, what I believe about myself, what my habits are, what my experiences have been, and also, as you say, our brain is naturally wired, our conscious brain and our conscious mind is naturally wired to keep us safe and within what's familiar. And so when we want to create change, we do have to override that conscious brain. And so that's why there's that sometimes that sense of we can get in our own way and we can be our own worst enemies. And that's simply because our brain is doing what it's designed to do, which is to keep us alive. But unfortunately, yeah, it's sometimes it's got really good intentions that can sometimes derail us.
Yeah, and it's so funny because when, like you were saying, people just say, well, just do what you know what you need to do. Mm. We all know what we need to do to lose
absolutely.
Weight.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Just because I was 135 kilos, I wasn't stupid. I knew exactly. My husband studies nutrition.
Yeah.
I knew more about how to lose weight than he did. Yeah. I knew more about it because of my experiences over 37 years of all. I'd researched everything. I'd tried everything. That's logical. And we're not logical. We're
no.
We don't know why we do the things we do. And then when we do know, it's still hard to change it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I believe so much in the NLP kind of formula, because it's not about logically knowing. That's not why I was big. I knew when I was eating what I was eating that I shouldn't have been eating it and it wasn't going to make me feel good, et cetera. But there were reasons I was eating it, and I had to. And again, going into therapy and talking about your problems is great if it changes it.
Mm.
But I'd never had that experience either. Whereas NLP, instead of digging up old dirt, it was basically like planting a whole new garden. So I wasn't going back and discovering things and being devastated all over again and trying to work through it. I was just like, okay, well, I've had that in my life and that hasn't been serving me. Let's have a whole new take on this.
Yeah.
And, it's just a whole new world and not burying anything.
Yeah.
Just not giving it the focus and attention that it doesn't deserve. It doesn't – the things in your past don't really deserve a lot of attention. They're done. You can't change it. But you can use it to be a better person and to make changes for the positive now. And every day you can choose that. Every single moment. Like, I could have eaten something this morning that I shouldn't have. It wasn't making me feel good, which I still do because no one's, you know, I'm not a robot.
Yeah.
But in the next hour I can choose differently, in the next minute, the next day. It doesn't have to be the new year to choose something.
Yes.
And I think that is the difference between now and, again, who I used to, how I used to think, which is, oh, I've blown it now. I may as well just blow the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many days of my life I had that attitude where I'd have one thing that in my head was bad, which, again, I don't even think like that anymore, which is just strange. And then I just blow the rest of the day and think, oh, I may as well blow it and start again tomorrow. That's how you become 135 kilos, my friends, and it doesn't, work. It's in the next minute saying, okay, I don't feel good because I ate that. That's a good lesson. I'm going to try and remember that next time I go to grab the ice cream, because it does. It makes me feel gross now because I don't eat it very often. And when I do, I can have two bites and go, that was really nice. If I have a couple more bites and then I go, I had a few too many bites and I feel a bit gross because I'm not used to feeling sick and tired anymore. I'm used to feeling great. So that's when you can use the body to give yourself signals. And that's a completely different person than I was 2 years ago. And it's hard to even remember thinking like that, which is pretty awesome.
Absolutely, and I can hear the passion and the enthusiasm in your voice. It's really infectious. I'm just sitting here with a big smile on my face. Can we get into the detail? So for someone listening who wants to go, what did you do? So what were the actions you took on a daily or weekly basis that got you from 135 kilos to 62, 63 kilos? Like, if someone wants a recipe for success on actions, what would you say?
I have a lot of things that I did, and I don't know what – it worked for me. So I don't know if it's, you know, if the dietitian
and that's okay.
And the doctor and – yeah. they probably go, oh, really? But they work for me.
So yeah, and this is the thing.
What did work.
Absolutely. And this is the thing. We do whatever works. It doesn't matter who's saying it. We do whatever works for us. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. I did walk every day, and I know that sounds, I mean, if I had heard that, I would have gone, every day, I can't do that. But the difference between how I used to think about exercising and now is that I would say to myself, I'm only going to do 10 minutes. I promised myself 10 minutes of walking, which is so attainable.
Yeah.
I mean, I still am crazy busy, but there's no way I can't fit 10 minutes of walking in my day, even if it's, you know, just before school pickup, parking my car and doing a quick few laps around the block and going.
Yeah.
10 minutes. Yeah. If you can't give yourself 10 minutes a day to do that, you've got to reassess your life. But I would promise myself 10 minutes of walking, but once you get out there, you often do a lot more than 10 minutes, and that's how you trick yourself to getting out. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go and do 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you end up, you know, loving it or whatever. So you end up doing a little bit more. And some days it would be 10 minutes and other days it'd end up being an hour or half an hour or whatever. But I do it every day. It was a kind of a non-negotiable, even if it's raining.
Yeah.
It was hot. If I knew it was going to be hot, I'd get up early. I just made it happen.
Yeah.
So the walking thing, I tried other forms of exercise, and if I hated it, I never did it again. Mm-hmm. So I'm more of a yoga, Pilates, walking kind of girl.
Yeah.
I tried gym. I like weights, but I tried a weights class. I ended up not being able to literally walk for a week. Like, I was in struggle street for a whole week after one class. I never went back to that. So mm-hmm. I was like, really? That is just torture. I've tortured myself for 37 years. Let's just look at it. It's really about nurturing yourself. That's just such a big key to this whole thing for me. It's about doing things, and not just doing things that make you happy, doing things that you know are long-term really going to make you feel good.
Yeah, so that kind of tapping into your kind of inner wisdom almost, and you're listening to your body and, as you say, nurturing and caring for yourself.
Yeah, that's how you lose weight, not by bashing yourself or getting someone else to yell at you while you run up a hill. Sorry, that's just not for me. And I think, again, I was mean enough to myself for 37 years. I'm not going to pay someone else to be mean to me. It's like a personal trainer. It's just no way.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's what you need, and if you actually love
exactly.
it.
Some people love it.
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to do the movement, whatever that movement is, that you love. And if you love it, you'll keep doing it. And if you can still do it when you're 70, then you're set. If you can't run up a hill when you're 70, why is it going to work for you now? Because when you're 70 and you stop running up that hill, are you going to eat ice cream because you're supposed to count up the hill? And that's one of the things that a few of my, well, I've got a naturopath and a dietitian and a doctor, and they've all kind of said that they don't agree with this hardcore exercise unless it's something that you love doing for fitness and you know it, but not necessarily for weight loss. It's not, it's not a long-term good strategy, because again, you injure yourself and you're in trouble because you can't do the hardcore exercise you're doing and you're relying on that to lose or to keep your weight off.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just some wisdom that I got from other people. It's not something that I made up. It's just what I kept hearing, and I thought, yeah, I want to do something I love doing. So it makes me, even when I'm not feeling good, I know that if I do some yoga, for me, it makes me feel good. So that makes me want to do it instead of,
And it's about, it sounds like, I mean, it's about doing exercise for those kind of mood-enhancing endorphins.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know, that can be the driver and the motivator, and also that's where it's going to have most power as well in many ways, rather than, as you say, for weight loss, because it's not going to have that much impact on weight loss. That's where the food and the nutrition has the biggest impact. Absolutely.
And that was definitely my experience. And even, for instance, the other night I went into a dance class, which is my favourite thing in the whole world, and I haven't done it for a few weeks because my class has been moved and it's been a hard time for me, but again, that's an excuse and I'm going to make time because I loved it. But that I came home that night, I felt so good, and the whole next day I just felt like on top of the world because I had done something that I really loved, and that's about nurturing yourself, but also it was that I felt healthy and fit and amazing from doing that class. And I didn't even think about food all day. And because we still, it's not like the switch is flicked where I never think about eating something I shouldn't eat. Of course I think about that So the next day I was reflecting and thinking, wow, I couldn't care less about food today because I was riding that high. So I think when you find your thing, you know that it's about the endorphins and you know it's about the feel-good factor of the exercise and not necessarily about the calories you've burnt doing that exercise. That's the long-term thing, is that it makes you feel amazing. And when you feel good, you do the right thing for yourself.
Absolutely. And also, what it sounds like to me is that, you know, because what's very common is that strategy of where we use food to change how we're feeling. And like you said, you're not interested in food because you don't need to change how you're feeling because you're feeling so good.
Yeah.
And you've also got other strategies for changing how you feel as well. You know, you recognize the endorphins in the walk and the yoga and the dancing and so on.
Yeah, exactly. And the movement I find is more of a state-changing kind of thing than a burning calories kind of thing. So that's just for me.
Yeah.
The other thing that I still do, and it's a bit of a fun one, but I drink a lot of green tea, and I know it sounds weird, but obviously the research is out there that it's amazing for us.
Yeah.
Not just the caffeine. I mean, I replaced my coffee with green tea because I found I get too high and then low on coffee now, especially because your body completely changes when you lose a person in weight.
Yeah.
So the green tea gave me more sustainable energy. And the other thing that I remember when I was losing a lot of weight rapidly is that it's quite tiring because your body's doing a lot of work, and that's why I think you also need to nurture yourself. You have to understand that your body's doing so much work. It's like running a marathon every day. Your body's burning its excess off. Like, that's hardcore when you think about it. It's not normal. You don't spend your life losing weight. You spend your life burning what you eat. This is going into your reserves and ripping them out after 37 years of them being there. So you can be really tired. So, you know, a little bit of energy from green tea made it was more sustainable, calm energy that I could use all day. Good for metabolism and all those things. I'm no doctor, but obviously the research is out there that it's a good thing to drink. So I
and
don't
it worked for you. Yeah.
It worked for me. Some people get too jittery, but I love it.
And you know, on that sort of topic, what has been a struggle or a challenge for you in the past sort of year and a half, and how have you overcome those sort of big ticket items?
So in terms of my, are you talking about my weight?
In terms of any of it in terms of the lifestyle changes, your weight, your health, you know, if you were going to pick maybe one of the top challenges that you've faced and overcome, or maybe are still struggling with, what's gotten in the way for you, and have you gotten past it, or how are you getting past it or dealing with it?
I think there's more been a series of smaller things. There hasn't been anything major.
Yeah.
Luckily.
Yeah.
You know, a few health things. You get a lot of tests done after. You're constantly tested after this surgery to make sure that everything's okay. And so other things have popped up that we've had to deal with. And not necessarily the result from the surgery, but you don't always know why.
Yeah.
In the body. So I've had a few, you know, I'm on some supplements and things to try and my energy is not always high, and it's frustrating because I know I can feel really good. And then, so vitamin, I think that's my vitamin B. So that has been, you know you can feel good. So when you feel tired and you don't have the energy is when you go for the food.
Yeah.
And I think that's the struggle as a bigger person. You are always tired and you don't have the energy. So you're constantly looking at food to give you that energy because that's your go-to. That's what you've chosen as your thing. Instead of having a nap, getting better sleep, improving your health so that you feel better, because it does take a lot of time, even when you're dieting, you're tired.
Yeah.
So you go back to the food. I can get that now because I'm tired. So I suppose that's one thing that I have consulted my naturopath and other people on is, you know, instead of going for the food when I'm tired, and again, that's where the green tea kind of comes in, going for other things that are going to make me not regretful and actually do make me feel better, because when you go for food, it's a catch 22. It makes you feel good for while you're eating it and a short period after, and then you feel awful because it's the sugar in it that's giving you the kick, and then it kicks you in the ass after. So and I did give up sugar, and it was really hard. And now I do have some sugar in my life, but my body doesn't love it.
Yeah.
So there, I think there are things that I'm going to always have to be mindful of.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah, and I think what I'm getting from you is that there's a real, it's an experimentation period, the whole, and it's an ongoing experimentation period of testing and measuring and seeing what works and seeing what doesn't and what's tolerated and what's not tolerated, and that's ongoing, and it's about embracing that and being curious about what works and what doesn't work, and also
Being willing to change it as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Being willing to say, well, if this isn't working, there has to be a better way. And that's why and I talk about when I talk to my friends about, I say my team. I've got a whole team. I don't do this on my own. I've a naturopath, a doctor. I've got two doctors.
Absolutely.
A surgeon, my NLP coach. So when I'm not feeling something, if I'm feeling something's not working, I can go to one of them and say, what the heck, why am I feeling like this? Is this normal? Usually it is. And they'll help me with a strategy to that I'm willing to, you know, try.
Absolutely.
To change it.
Absolutely. And you read my mind, because I was going to point out that you are consistently referring to people who are on your team and who are supporting you, and you're not doing this alone. Obviously, you've got your friends and your family, and then you're tapping into the expertise of other people to support you on this journey and to help you get the health and maintain the health that you want, and the energy that you want, and that you want to live your life with.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important that your friends and family are on board as well, because if there's people trying to, not consciously, but that are sabotaging you, or like eating stuff that you don't want to eat anymore, and they do it anyway with you, in front of you, around you, that would be really hard.
Yeah.
I'm lucky because my husband is on board. I also choose who I eat with, so even though I might still hang out with people, I don't necessarily, I'm choosing who I hang out with and when I hang out with them, so I don't always, it's hard to.
But it sounds like you're quite selective and strategic in terms of what you do with who, and who you do surround yourself with, and also is whether you're comfortable being in a social setting with them where there is food versus you'd prefer not to be, and so on. So you're actually being very conscious about it.
Especially in the beginning. And again, I think when you're maintaining your weight, it is very different, because you don't have to be, you can't keep being that strict because you lose too much weight.
Yeah.
That's not the aim here, is not to be sick, it's to be healthy. So when you're at the point where you're healthy and you're feeling great and you're in maintenance world, you know, going out for a burger and not eating the bun because it's salad and meat is cool.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have done that, because I just think there was also a period where I wouldn't have just been able to do that. I would have wanted to eat things that I was quite strict with those kind of who I'd hang out with and where I'd eat and who I'd eat with and all those kind of things. And now I can relax. So it's not a life sentence, which I think would put you off. If you thought, oh, I'm going to have to be like this forever, that's so boring. It is boring. You just want to, I wanted to eat like a, and I'm putting my fingers in the air and doing little, you know, quotes, a normal person. I didn't want to go and eat everything or come home at the end and eat everything at the end of the day. I didn't want to be like that anymore. I wanted to be normal. So now I try and eat as normally as I can, having the size of the stomach that we do. But at the same time, knowing, I don't need to eat that today. I need to have a salad today. And then I go out with the girlfriends and go, I really want some chips today, and I'm going to have a couple of chips. And it's okay. And sorry if any of the surgeon is listening and doesn't like that. But honestly,
it's 80-20, isn't it? It's sort of, it's achieving that balance.
Your life on lettuce. Yeah. And I don't think anyone, I don't think he would expect you to. It's not, you know, it's not that. It's because if you looked at it and thought, I'm going to have to eat like this the rest of my life, we wouldn't do it. You have to, life has to be fun, or what's the point?
I agree. And I think you raise a really important point, because what we do often find is that people who are about to embark on the surgery, for some of them, there's grief. They feel like that's the end of their social life, and they'll never be able to socialize with food. They'll never be able to enjoy food again. And I think what you said was really good, in terms of there are phases where things may be a little bit more challenging, or you might need to think or plan a little bit more than you would normally. But those phases are temporary. They do not last forever.
It's a season in your life.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a season. It's like if you were ill and you were getting treatment, that's a season of you have to look after yourself. But I do feel like, you know, when you are in the season of losing the weight, you do have to be very high. You have to be very high on your priority list. And then after, when you have lost the weight and you're at the point where you are happy, and I hope everyone gets there, because
absolutely,
like, amazing, your health and yourself still has to be very high on your priorities. It's something you need to stay in that bubble a little bit, but you can be a little bit less all about you. But you have to be all about you for a little while, and then you have to be able to still have those strategies, you know, make you feel great. Like, I've got lots of little things I do. So during the day, if I'm just feeling bleh, I'll put in, and it is, I'm a girl, so what I do, I put in some perfume or some red lipstick, or I get changed into different clothes just to change it up, to change my energy a little bit. I'll go for, you know, because you can't always go for a walk. It might be you've literally got 1 minute before you have to go do something else, and you're just not feeling good. Okay, let's go put some perfume on. Let's go and put some hand, like, a smell for me is really, I really like smells. So if I smell good, it kind of lifts me a little bit, just enough to get me to the next. Or I go get a green tea. I really look forward to my jasmine green tea. Just those little tiny things throughout your day that nurture you. Or on a Sunday night, I'll have a bath. With the magnesium in it to, you know, really feel, and a glass of wine if I can now. And those little strategies that you have as your new, that's your life now. You have to have those strategies that keep you feeling good, because then you can be good, not just for yourself, but you can be a better mum, friend, sister, wife, worker, all of those things start with you feeling good. If you don't feel if you're not feeling it, you're not going to give it. I just, I feel like I can give so much more now, but I'm still a priority in my life. I'm not being selfish about it. I give it, you know.
Absolutely.
So it's a bit of a, it's both. It's definitely juxtaposition. It's, my priority has changed, but I can give more. So
absolutely. Awesome. And it's a great reminder to everyone listening. What, if we kind of, in terms of where you are now, I'm curious, what do you wish you'd known at the beginning that you now know that might have saved you some time or some effort or some frustration? Or if you could go back and tell your earlier self something, a nugget of wisdom, what would that be?
That it's all going to be okay. It really is. I think you can just, every time I got all caught up and anxious and worried, it stopped. It stops the flow of what was going right. So I think we'll often be in our, and I call it in my flow. I don't call it going with the flow, because that's dead fish. I'm saying in my flow of how I know my life flows really well and what works for me. As soon as we get anxious or worried or caught up in what we should be doing and trying to control, which is really when you're trying to control everything is when the opposite kicks in and everything starts to go wrong. Every time I feel myself trying to control,
that paradox,
and I can feel everything falling apart, and I think, what am I doing? Relax, just surrender to the process. You are doing it, you're doing what you, and it's funny, because now when we do know what we need to do and we've got the mindset to go with it, you do just do it without thinking about it. So now when I surrender, relax, chill out, whatever it is you want to call it. I do like the word surrender, because it's not me trying to force something. Then everything just starts working again. And it can be in a minute, or it can take a day to get back on track. It could be that I need to go, I like going to the water and just you know, having some time on my own. Or it could take 1 minute to just go, okay, this isn't working today. So I'm obviously pushing something. So I need to just take a few deep breaths and go back into my flow. And I think that if I had been realized that earlier,
yeah,
it would have been easier. But it's a lesson you have to learn and experience for yourself. But I think if I can just be that voice in your head that says, and deep breathing is incredible. It changed my life. Learning how to breathe properly, I know it sounds really weird, changed my entire life. It changes everything in your body when you're breathing properly. We all breathe. We don't breathe enough. So to really be calm and take those big, deep breaths and just take a minute can instantly change how you feel and therefore your next action and then the rest of your day.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic reminders for everyone, Cassie. Just as a final question, perhaps, I'm curious, what did you discover about yourself through your journey?
What did I discover about myself? I feel it's a bit strange, but I kind of feel like I don't know how to say this, I don't think I've said it yet, but I always felt like I was going to do it. I was always going to, and when you're big and you've been big for many, 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 many years, it becomes almost an obsession to want to lose that weight, for want of a better word, or that is the thing you want most. You know, if anyone ever said to you, if you had a genie and you could request one thing, you would always say, I would want to lose weight,
yeah,
and I would do anything and all of those things, and that's who I was. I was always, you know, praying for a miracle about it, but at the same time I had this other part of me that thought, yeah, I'm going to do that one day, and that was always going to happen. I think if we can have that faith in ourselves and in, you know, I don't know if you, whatever else you believe in, that it is possible and that it is what is meant for our lives is to be healthy, fit, energized.
Yeah.
We aren't meant to be 135 kilos with no energy and feeling like crap. That was not what my life was meant to look like.
Mm.
And I do not believe that it's what anyone's life should be. You know, it's hard to, I hope you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying, really, if we could all have our best lives, it wouldn't be that. And I believe that we are all meant to live our best lives. Mm. And it's just taking some, it will take some people longer than others because that's our journey. And I was meant to learn stuff along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it all clicked in at 37. And some people it's 27, some people it's 67. But whatever, it's your journey. You're there when you're there.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I think I learned that I have faith. I can have faith in myself because I can pull through for myself.
Beautiful.
And I do believe that everyone has that inside them.
Yeah.
I really do. I believe we're born with it and we lose it. And I think if we connect back into the realization that this isn't, we aren't meant to be big and unhealthy. It's not how we were designed to be. It's what we have chosen, and you have to take ownership for it. I'm not blaming anyone else for me being 135 kilos. That's part of the healing. I can't blame anyone else. My mum, my dad, it doesn't matter what happened.
Yeah.
I still made the choices along the way.
Yeah.
But now I choose to have faith in myself and know that I can, I'll be there. I'll have my own back.
Yes.
Other people have my back too, but I now have my own back. And I honestly believe we all have that capability. We all have that resource. We all have it.
Absolutely.
You've got to believe it about yourself, I suppose. Yeah. You've got to believe it about yourself. And that's when it all will start to click in.
Absolutely. Well said. I might actually squeeze in one more question just to finish off. Depending on when someone is listening to this, what advice would you give to people who are about to start their journey or who may be struggling to achieve the kind of lifestyle, healthy lifestyle changes that they intend to right now? What advice would you give?
I really I would really love everyone to go and have an NLP session. I know that's
yeah.
not.
So that's getting their mindset set for success. Yeah, absolutely.
You have to learn about why you think the way you do, because, and I honestly think a lot of it is subconscious. So you have no idea why your face is up
absolutely. Yes.
It is, and you know it is, and you know your face is up against the wall, but you can't see it because your face is right up against it. It's not something you're 100% in control of if you don't have the key or the strategies. And you did not ask me to say that because you know that I thoroughly believe in NLP, and I have known about NLP before I even met you guys. So this is something that I truly believe was the key to how I managed to push down every wall, and I still come up against them because we all have so many things that, or so many limiting beliefs, which is a kind of a term that you learn along the way, that will pop up every now and again. You go, where the hell did that come from? And it's right there, and you can't see the forest for the trees. But if you have strategies, you can step back and go, oh, there it is. I know what that is. Okay, and now I know how to get rid of it. And that's how you can move forward. So, if you can do an NLP, and I think everyone listening to this will have access to a
absolutely. So
I would investigate it anyway and look at your mindset and use visualization. Use whatever works for you to be consistent in your mindset, in your and in your language to yourself. When you catch yourself talking to yourself badly, think of yourself as your best friend. Would you say that to your best friend? Do you think you're going to get anywhere? You know, if you're teaching a child and every time they do something wrong, do you smack them? That's old school. That doesn't work. We need to encourage children to learn. And I think if we treat ourselves with love and care like we would our best friend or a three-year-old, we'll have much more success with ourselves to say, okay, how do you feel about doing what you did? Does it make you feel good? No. Okay, so maybe what can you do differently next time? I honestly talk to myself like that now. It's bizarre. But I would have said to myself before, oh, you're an idiot. Why did you do that? You know you should. Hello, that didn't work for 37 years, but I kept doing it.
Yes.
And now I know that that wasn't, you know, why do we keep doing things that don't work? Because we don't know any better. But when you know better, you do better. And that's my choice, was to go out and find a better way. And that's
absolutely. Well said. Absolutely.
Still finding it, still going, never perfect, never know everything.
And we
always.
And we all are as well. We all are.
Yeah.
And every time we know more, then, you know, we can apply the tools and the strategies to different situations and keep growing. And that's the whole point, is to keep growing. So, and this is, you know, this is why we've literally started offering NLP coaching sessions to
Because it works,
because I'm passionate about it. Alex is passionate about it as well. Absolutely. So, it's an exciting new addition to what we can offer. But for now, and for you and I, Cassie, I want to thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else you want to add? Anything else you'd want to add at this point before we sign off?
I just really am excited for anyone who's starting the journey or in the middle of their journey or feel like they don't know what they're doing on their journey. I'm just really excited because I know what's possible. In this, you know, when you get it, when it all clicks and you've got the surgery is amazing and the resources we have are amazing and the possibilities are incredible, and I really want people to succeed, but I can't do it for them, and I had to do everything that I knew for myself, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't remind anyone else to make it work for me, and no one else can do that for you, but you have it inside you. And as you said before, what was the one thing? And that was really important to me, that I had the key. And I think everyone does. And I just really want them to understand that they do, because that is what's going to get them the success, results, the goal, whatever, the life that they've always dreamed of.
Yeah.
It's possible, but it's only possible if you take ownership and take it all, everything you can get, go and get it. Go to every call, go to every session you can. Show up, because you never know what you're going to learn. You never know what piece of advice is going to change your day, your year, your life.
Yeah.
Because you can never know everything. And when you're feeling like giving up the most, it's probably when you're about to learn your biggest lesson. So to just keep stepping one foot in front of the other, even if you're not feeling it, because you can't, you have to keep moving forward. You have to. And that's, you know, when you really feel like, I think it's the same with anything. When you feel like you're about to give up, I think that's when you're about to come to your biggest breakthrough.
Yeah.
So if you give up now, you're really going to miss out. So don't. And that's what's going to get you through those hard days, thinking, I don't want to miss out on the best part.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing this.
Beautifully said. And also, as you know, as you alluded to earlier, if you need help, ask for help. Ask for help. Get the help that you need. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not if, you are definitely going to need help, and you might not be able to have 1,000 different doctors around you, but if you can find a few key people and invest a little bit of money in those key people, and if they're not right, you need to move on.
Cassie, thank you so, so much. You're a powerhouse of inspiration and great ideas and suggestions, and I am so grateful for you giving your time this morning. Thank you so much. And I know that whoever does listen to this recording, there will be many, many listeners in the future, and I know every single one of them will get several nuggets of absolute gold from this conversation. So thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for you and you guys, what you do, because when I listen and tune into anything, I'm always nodding and saying, yes, that's exactly what I've, even if I didn't realize I was doing it or that's what I needed to hear, I just think it's invaluable. And I'm just really grateful that the surgeons that have invested in this, because I do think it is the reason those surgeons are probably very successful, because they set up teams to help people. And that's, you know, I just
absolutely
think if everyone, I've met other people who had this surgery and don't have these resources and they really struggle. So
thank you
for doing what you do. It's amazing.
Thank you, Cassie. That's much appreciated. It's an honour and a privilege to serve you and your fellow patients, our clients, and we value every single one of you. And you're totally right. Like we're very honoured as well to work with the particular surgeons that we do, because they have a specific focus on client care that not everyone does, and we're really excited to be part of that with them. So thank you so much.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.